Welcome to Monday Morning Murder in the News with Alyssa Carroll.
Hello, heathens. Good morning. Happy Murder in the News Monday. I hope and trust everyone has had a good weekend, and those that worked the weekend, we appreciate your sacrifice. In the immortal words of Prince, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life, right? So let's get into the news. So our first article comes from KY3.com, KY3, the place to be. And the title reads, Remains of 2-year-old boy found 8 months after he went missing, police say. And he's just the cutest little boy. The remains of a 2-year-old boy who went missing 8 months ago were found, according to French authorities. Police say a hiker found Emily Soleil's body near his grandfather's house in an alpine village, The Sun reported. Emily was last seen on July 8, 2023, and his 58-year-old grandfather, who was looking after him for his parents. The day he disappeared, he wore a yellow top, white shorts with a green pattern, and hiking shoes. Two witnesses told police that they saw him wandering around by himself while his grandfather chopped wood in his garden, The Mirror reported. After they couldn't find him, his grandparents quickly informed authorities around 5:15 p.m., sparking a massive search. Over 800 people were involved in the search. However, he was never found despite helicopters, drones, dogs being used. His cause of death is still unknown. Oh, I had to start the Monday morning murder with a sad one. Yuck. Our next article comes from WPTV.com, West Palm Beach. Title reads, Florida man arrested after woman was tortured and beaten 4 months. Authorities said 48-year-old Walter Medina was arrested for allegedly abducting and torturing a woman for nearly 3 months. Oh, that's... A Florida man who allegedly tortured, beat, and held a woman captive for months has been arrested. Thank God. According to the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, 48-year-old Walter Medina of Tampa met the female victim who was panhandling in January of 2024. Medina gave the victim food and narcotics. He would eventually start torturing her for around 2.5 months with HCSO, saying that Medina would hit her with a wooden baseball bat and a flathead screwdriver. Authorities said the victim was left alone inside Medina's van at a Walgreens for a short time on April 1st and was able to escape and get help. She had severe injuries to her face and body from the attacks, including broken ribs, deep puncture wounds, and extensive bruising, and was taken to a local hospital for treatment. Holy shit. Deep puncture wounds and extensive bruising, broken ribs. Wow. Medina fled the area and authorities pursued him as he drove at speeds approaching 100 miles per hour. After a pursuit that stretched from Hillsborough County into Polk County and Orange County, police said he crashed into a concrete barrier and was apprehended. Medina was transported to an area hospital to be treated for injuries suffered during the incident. Authorities said he will be sent to the Orange County Jail upon release from the hospital. Medina will be charged by the Florida Highway Patrol for fleeing and eluding law enforcement, reckless driving, and leaving the scene of a crash involving damage to property. The warrant out of Hillsborough County charged him with attempted second-degree murder with a weapon, armed kidnapping, armed false imprisonment, aggravated battery with great bodily harm and a deadly weapon, tampering with a witness, and tampering with physical evidence. Medina has served time in prison for a previous false imprisonment case in 1999 and has an arrest history including kidnapping, aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer, and robbery. Well, you know, he just sounds like a peach, honestly. You know, maybe he's one of those we just... He's fine. Nothing to be scared of. That's terrifying. Okay, our next one comes from winnipeg.ctvnews.ca, so obviously coming out of Canada. Title says, a man accused of killing four women, disposing of bodies, pleads not guilty in Winnipeg. A man accused of killing four women, two of whose remains are believed to be in a Winnipeg area landfill, maintained his innocence on the first day of a pre-trial hearing. Jeremy Skibicki appeared in court Monday and pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder in the deaths of First Nations women Rebecca Contoy, Morgan Harris, Mercedes Miran, and an unidentified woman whose Indigenous leaders have named Mashcode. Basically, it means Buffalo Woman. I'm not even going to try that. I don't want to be disrespectful. Family members and supporters, many wearing shirts displaying images of these women, filled the large courtroom. Some gasped as Sibicki entered his plea. First Nations ceremonies were recognized by the court before the start of the hearing. The courtroom was smudged and blessed with prayer and song. You know, I like that. Four large cloths, black, red, yellow, and white, were hung on the walls of the courtroom to represent the four directions. A buffalo headdress was also placed on a table with an eagle feather fan. A red ribbon dress was laid out on a chair to represent Buffalo Woman. Amy Fortier, a spokesperson for Manitoba courts, said in an email that the courts will always ensure that it is neutral regarding religion and spirituality, but there are attempts being made to address issues of reconciliation and trust with Indigenous communities. Because, sidebar, I'm sure you guys already know this, but in case you don't, there is a highly, highly disturbing amount of Indigenous women that are just disappearing or being murdered. Hugely disproportionately so. Like, more than statistically relevant, it's the, you cannot deny it at this point. So they're trying to be respectful, and I get that, and that's awesome. So police said they believe the four women were killed over 2 months in the spring of 2022, although only the body of Contoy has been found. So her partial remains were discovered last year in a garbage bin in the city and in the Brady Road landfill. Police believe the remains of Harris and Miran are in the Prairie Green landfill north of Winnipeg. Their families have spent nearly a year calling for a search of the landfill after police declined to search the area, citing safety concerns. A trial for Skibicki has been scheduled to start at the end of April. His lawyers argued Monday that he should have a judge-alone trial. Nice. Nice try, Bundy. Quote, an accused should have an unfettered right to elect the mode of trial that they want. Leonard, can't say that name either, told reporters Monday outside court. He also took issue with the Crown issuing a direct indictment in the case, foregoing a preliminary hearing. Quote, the next thing they want also is determining the mode of trial. At some point, you're going to say, stop to this, he said. The Crown is contesting the defense's motion to have a judge-alone trial. There is, quote, very high public interest to have a trial by judge and jury in this case. Well, no shit. Court of King's Bench Chief Justice Glenn Joyle reserved his decision for a later date. The rest of the two-week hearing is under a publication ban. I get why some people think that it's not good that, like, our tribe, you know, you and I, us, our tribe, hyper-focus on these things, you know, to the point that, like, I'm hyper-focused on the Madeline Soto case right now. Like, I just cannot let go of it. But at the same time, you killed those women, you knew it was wrong, and you have a right to be absolutely humiliated and berated by the public because you are a menace. I'm sorry. But you murder four women, you don't get to have a close trial. I'm a firm believer in, listen, we all pay taxes, right? We all do. And so if there's some serious things going on, I think that cameras should be allowed in the courtroom. I think that if you're paying for that courtroom and you're paying the wages for, you know, counsel that's free because the person can't afford it, so on and so forth, I think we have every right to see what's going on. But that's just me. That's just me. I'll get off my pedestal. And actually, I did not know that this was the next article, but this one is about Madeline Soto, and I had to fight with every fiber of my being. Quantum mechanics be damned to not read this, but I did not. I swear to you. So it's coming from WESH.com out of Orlando. And it says, 911 calls released in Madeline Soto case. Osceola County, Florida. WESH2 received the 911 calls made in the case of Madeline Soto, the 13-year-old girl who was reported missing and found dead days later. There were three separate calls all made asking for police to help them find Madeline. And they appear to be made by a friend of the family back on February 26th. It says, quote, okay, and then how long has it been, though, since you guys have last seen her? The 911 operator said. Since this morning. She was dropped off at school this morning, and apparently she never showed up. We called everyone we knew. No one's seen her, the 911 caller said. The calls were released after the medical examiner's office said that they can't release how the 13-year-old died because her death was related to an act of domestic violence. Now, I already shared that little bit. I didn't read this article ahead of time, but I just saw it as I was looking for my own Madeline Soto stuff. So I posted that in the Facebook and then on the Instagram. So if you follow, you already know. But if not, they're not going to release it. But an act of domestic violence is just more proof, or I wouldn't say it's proof, but it makes me feel even more so that Mr. Stephen Stearns did it. I mean, we all know, I mean, you know, innocent till proven guilty. Detectives were told her mom's boyfriend, Stephen Stearns, dropped her off at school, but they later learned she never made it and was actually already dead. Her body was found in a wooded area days later in Osceola County. Investigators say Stearns is not cooperating in the investigation. Right now, he's facing more than 60 charges related to child sex crimes, but he's not been charged in Soto's murder. So, yeah, he was doing very, very bad things to her. So, I mean, I guess they started, him and her mom started dating when she was 9, I believe. And he'd been doing stuff to her off and on in between mom and his breakups and stuff, and taking pictures of it. He had a bunch of them on his phone that he accidentally, do the air quotes with me, you ready? Accidentally factory reset his phone. Idiot. Honestly. Okay, our next article comes from ManchesterEveningNews.co.uk. Manchester Evening News. Oh, yeah, it says it right down there. So I was reading it off of the site address. Thank you so much for sending the international ones, by the way. Hear, hear, and all that. Title of this one reads, Quiet Community Rocked by Discovery of Man's Remains as Major Salford Murder Investigation Continues. Quote, it is utterly disgusting. Crime is just getting worse and worse. Boy, howdy. So, it says, a quiet and residential community has been rocked after human remains were found near a nature reserve in Salford last week. S-A-L-F-O-R-D. People living near Kersal Wetlands, just off Radford Street, have called the discovery utterly disgusting as Greater Manchester Police's murder investigation reached its third day. Today, and then it's in parentheses, April 6th. Police confirmed that the remains, which were found wrapped in plastic, were a torso, which belonged to a man in his 40s, and that he had been, quote, deceased for a matter of days when his remains were discovered. Despite a heavy police presence in the area and scores of officers joining the investigation, no further remains have yet been found. This morning, people from the nearby Orthodox Jewish community filed past the cordon on their way to Saturday prayers as police officers from the Tactical Aid Unit and Canine Unit combed the thick undergrowth of the Kersal Wetlands. One young man who first heard of the murder investigation while on his way to the synagogue said, quote, "It is utterly disgusting. Crime is just getting worse and worse." I agree. He watched as police searched for clues in their investigation, which was launched after passersby spotted a plastic bag in the woodland. Oh, everybody raise a hand right now. How many of us just automatically assume that it's a body or it's puppies or kittens? Raise your hand. Mine's up. Group activity. Perhaps some group therapy. So he said that he felt less safe in his community. Quote, "There is something seriously wrong if something like this can happen," he said. So the identity of the man whose torso was found remains unknown at this time, though DNA tests and further inquiries are being carried out in the hopes of finding out who the victim was. Others walking past the cordon on Bury New Road expressed concern, but were waiting to find out more from the police. Just before midday, I wish we used midday over here more, while around a dozen officers searched through the brush and brambles of the wetland for further clues, Salford's district commander, Chief Superintendent Tony Creeley, said that forensic tests had been able to confirm the gender and age of the torso that had been found. He said, quote, "This is a tragic case, which is moving at pace, and thanks to forensic tests, we are able to confirm that the victim is a man who could not have survived. At the heart of our investigation is this man and his family. We are using all forensic techniques available to identify him as soon as we can, so we are able to support his loved ones during this devastating time." Oh, bless. Bless that. "I would like to thank the public for their cooperation in the last few days. The presence of our officers and specialist teams will have caused disruption in the local area and may continue to for some time yet, but we value any information they have been able to pass to us." Oh, I love him. There remain a number of unknowns around this case, but we are working diligently and respectfully to provide answers as soon as we are able. This will take time, and we will continue to provide updates of significance when we can." I love him. Who was that? Chief Superintendent Tony Creeley. On the off chance you hear this, bravo, dude. Alrighty, our next article comes from Boston25News.com. Boston 25 News, your local station. And the title reads, "Man charged after 17-year-old girl found dead inside Stowe home," the DA says. Stowe, Massachusetts. What are you guys up to up there? Authorities arrested a man on Friday after his juvenile girlfriend was found dead inside his home, according to officials. 20-year-old Shane Curry is charged with assault and battery on a household or family member and assault and battery causing serious bodily injury. According to Middlesex District Attorney Marion Ryan, officers responded to Curry's home on Great Road around 4:30 p.m. for a well-being check. Once on scene, Curry allegedly wouldn't let police into the home for 2 hours. When authorities finally gained access to the residence, officials say they found Curry's girlfriend, 17-year-old Nevaeh Goddard, deceased. She was allegedly living at the home with Curry. Curry was immediately taken into custody and transported to an area hospital for evaluation, according to the DA's office. The office of the chief medical examiner will perform an autopsy on Goddard to determine the cause of death. Curry will be arraigned on Monday in Concord District Court. The suspicious death remains under investigation by the Middlesex District Attorney's Office, Stowe Police, and Massachusetts State Police detectives assigned to the District Attorney's Office. Good Lord, that's a mouthful. What are we thinking? Those of you local to around that area, what's the scuttlebutt? What's the news? Leave a comment. Let us know. Do they think that he killed her? Do they think it was drugs? You local guys, let us know. So for our next article, we all know that the eclipse is happening today. Well, I recorded this Sunday, but for those of you listening today, the eclipse is going to happen today. Lots of people are super excited. I know I am because I'm near the line of totality. lots of people are really sick and frickin' tired of hearing about it. But apparently the state below me, Ms. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, declared a state of emergency. Arkansas governor declares state of emergency ahead of Monday's solar eclipse. This is what I was talking about. We'd be a little more in the moment, right? So I looked this up. So anyway, yes, Washington. Okay, Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders declared a state of emergency Friday as the natural state prepares for a host of influx of tourists for Monday's solar eclipse. Specifically, Sanders' state of emergency is concerned with potential disruptions to commercial shipping and consumer goods in the state, from groceries and toiletries to livestock and fuel. Quote, I hereby declare that a state of emergency exists with respect to commercial carriers transporting essential items of commerce to customers in Arkansas during this emergency, including but not limited to groceries, pharmacy items, medical equipment, goods, commodities, fuel, poultry, livestock, and feed, she said in the disaster declaration dated Friday. Okay, so I want a little bit of a sidebar here. Being married to a truck driver, I have a very unique perspective. Before I knew the mister, I didn't have the patience that I should have with semis, tractor trailers, or the lorries in England. See, I'm learning. But now I get it. I mean, your entire existence, almost your entire existence, is dependent upon those trucks getting shit from A to B somehow, right? I mean, you like to shop on Amazon. Somebody's got to put that on a semi and drive it. And then someone's got to put that in those little delivery vans and drive it. Like, there's a process there that I think people are missing an empathy, or some empathy for, is what I'm saying. Like, give them some room. Try to be patient, you know? They don't want to be away from their families any more than you're trying to get home to yours. Okay? Just be nice. That's what I'm telling you guys. Be nice. But anyway, so yeah, apparently Arkansas is absolutely terrified that the eclipse is just going to shut everything down. So if you are going to be going to the line of totality, please be aware that yes, products still need to move. You still want your Amazon package on your porch. Like, these trucks have got to go. So make room. Be nice. Make a way. Behave yourselves. Make me proud. The next kind of interesting thing that I just came upon is eclipse minute. What will happen to the temperature when the sun is blocked? Someone had to write a whole ass article about that and post it because somebody wanted to know what it would be like when the sun is blocked for a few minutes. Moving on. Our next one comes from Rockford Register Star, which is not a source I've heard of before. And it says, police... Illinois man charged with murder after stabbing at Rockford Walmart. This is from a week ago, so it's a week old. I apologize. A 28-year-old Cabaret man has been arrested in the stabbing death of a Walmart employee. According to police, the incident took place at the Rockford Walmart on Northridge, just south of Riverside Boulevard. Rockford police responded to the store at 6:05 p.m. Sunday on a report of a stabbing, police said in a news release. Upon arrival, police located an 18-year-old male employee with a life-threatening stab wound to his back. The employee was taken to a local hospital where he died. Police identified the suspect as 28-year-old Timothy Carter of Cabaret in Illinois Village in Ford and Kankakee counties. According to police, Carter's last known address is in Cabaret, I know I'm saying it wrong, and the victim in this case and Carter did not know each other. So the victim in this case and Carter did not know each other. Carter was arrested and booked into the Winnebago County Jail. He has been charged with first-degree murder. You know, Walmart is just straight up hood anymore. Am I right? I've also been kind of done with the news articles. So I've also been trying to, you know, just sort of catch the last little bit of crumbs coming out of the Ruby Frankie case. And a YouTuber that I watch, I think it's Straight From My Sofa. something like that. I think if you type that in, you'll see him. He's fantastic. But anyway, or reporting from my sofa, something like that. And he's been reading Ruby's journals. And so she is not the person she's always portrayed herself to be. So yes, of course, obviously, I would like to take the entire story and kind of condense it and get into the psychology of what is going on with her. So you betcha, I'm going to put it in May's kind of voting thing with the patrons. They choose the topic. So it'll be over there for voting for what I do in early May. And then sort of circling back to Madeline Soto, it says, Kissimmee police say that Madeline Soto's mother has been cooperating with the investigation, which is good because we were all kind of like, where is she? But it says the Kissimmee Police Department gave an update Thursday on the progress of investigation in the case of 13-year-old Madeline Soto. They're still working diligently on the case. I believe that. Asked if Soto's mother is considered a person of interest, Holland said, quote, everyone close to Madeline is considered a suspect until proven otherwise, end quote. I'm like, ooh, what does that say? But she added that Soto's mother has cooperated and been interviewed by detectives. So that's sort of the only update I know about that. Stefan, whatever his name is not cooperating, and it sounds like Mom is. So here's to me really hoping that she didn't know anything about what he was doing. You know what I'm saying? And then lastly, we've got Chad Daybell's trial beginning. Jury selection has happened, or at least has started. So that's, I believe his trial starts this week. Don't hold me to that, but I think so. So we're definitely going to be paying attention to that, even though we already know the story, and I get that because we do. But I just feel like there's going to be more information come out in this trial. And there's a part of me that like just kind of needs to know a little bit more out of respect for the kids. You know what I mean? Just to shame that man even more. I don't know. So we survived the weekend. Our weekend warriors, we love you. Be kind to truck drivers. But, you know, if you're going to be in the line of totality, just get your vehicle out of the way so that things can still move. And have a good week. Let's get through this. Outside of the eclipse, there's other things going on. Let me know how you're doing. What's up? And outside of that, have a great week, guys. Love you. Bye.